All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Nun Vav, 156. We are picking up on Kuf Nun Hey, 155. B, and we'll say let's pick up with Amar Rav Chuna Brei Rav Yoshua. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. So lots of detail. We'll say we dedicate our learning today as a zechus for the Refuah Shleima of Esti Samuel, of Esther Baschana Henyos having a bone marrow transplant today. We hope that in the merit of our time of Torah, she, together with Kol Chole Yisrael, will have a complete and enduring Refuah.
Amen.
So let's begin. I'm going to bring Rav Yoshua. So we'll say, remember again, we were discussing yesterday a really fascinating sugya regarding the katan. So you've established the Bosei for our purposes is the following. That a katan needs to be 20 years old. We pass in like Rav Huna. Katan needs to, although we'll see that in just a little bit. A katan needs to be 20 years, or I should say it's not a katan. The son needs to be 20 years old before he's empowered to go ahead and sell off his father's property. But we'll say what we also discussed was the concept that if a child is very young, but has business acumen, then ultimately, again, they would be able to go ahead and sell off estate property even earlier. I will say now, the fact that we're going ahead and discussing older ages, in other words, we're discussing 18, 20 years old, even though, again, on a technical level, a person or a child becomes a gadol for a boy at the age of 13 years old in one day, for a girl at the age of 12 years old in one day. But nevertheless, this situation is a bit different because this is not really about adulthood, but this is about business acumen, wanting to make sure that the child who's selling off estate property possesses the necessary quality and skill and understanding to be able to do so. So with that, Amar Rav Meir Rav Yoshua, Ule Edus Eduso Edus. I will say, even though, again, we bumped up the age to conduct business to 20 years old, but for Edus, we will say, for the ability to be a witness, from the age of 13 years old, in one day, a boy is able to go out and serve as a witness. Amar Bar Zutra, Bar Zutra said, Lo Amar Ela L'metaltali. So Bar Zutra said, that's only true, that he could testify regarding metaltalin. But at the age of 13 years old in one day, he can't testify regarding matters of karka. So we'll say what it sounds like over here is he's saying you can only testify about karka when? When you reach the age of 20. So the Gemara Samalei Rav Ashi Mar Zutra Mashna Metaltalin. So why is it that the child who's 13 years old in one day is believed to testify about metaltalin? Aye, but not about karka. Dizabini zvini. So it sounds like that since the child has the ability, or since the young man has the ability to, or the child of 13 years old in one day, has the ability to go ahead and sell off metaltalin, therefore what? He has the ability to testify about metaltalin. But since he doesn't have the ability to sell off karka until the age of 20, therefore what? He doesn't have the ability to testify regarding karka. Elamiata, but if that's the case, hodisnan, hapu'utos, mekhan mekach, umem karen memkar, vimetaltalin. Yet we'll say, we learned, pa'utos, we'll say, are children. Again, Chazal legislated that children, even below the age of bar bas mitzvah, in fact, do have the ability to sell off property, metaltalin. Why, Rabbi say? This was a necessary enactment in order to allow for their support. Because since at the end of the day, the children may need to do certain things in order to free up funds to be able to support themselves, therefore, Halacha L'maisa Chazal legislated that they're permitted to do so. So Gemar says, maybe you're going to say that since they have the ability to sell, Hachanami Dei Dusan Edus, maybe you'll say that they have the ability to testify as well. And Abba said, we know that's not the case. A child below the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah does not have the ability to testify, to which Gemar says, that's different. Abba said, when it comes to testimony, there's Gzeres HaKosev. The Gzeres HaKosev is Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anoshim. The two men stand before the court. What do you see from here? That in order to engage in Eidos, you have to satisfy the criteria of Anoshim, men, adults. And because these are children, therefore they can't serve as witnesses. Amar Meimar, Umatanasa Matana. Both say, now this is quite interesting. So Meimar comes along and says, furthermore, once a child is above the age of 13 years old in one day, if he gifts away a state property, the gift stands. I'm about to say, see, understand the interesting novelty in this. Even though, again, that child is not empowered to sell a state property, he is empowered to go ahead and gift away a state property. Amir Vashta Meimar, so Vashta Tamir, but one second, Hashta, Umazivini, Demekabel Zuzi, Amrat, Dulo, Dilma Mozil Umazbin. So Rashi says, Tamimer, I don't understand that. You don't allow this child of 13 years old in one day, who is a technical halachic gadol, to go ahead and sell property, even though what? He's receiving money for that. Because what are you concerned about? You're concerned that he's not well-versed enough, and he may end up selling the property for less money. So the Gemara says, Kol shekin matana, delo mati lehi velo midi. So I don't understand, if you're not letting him sell property, where at least he's getting money for it, why would you permit him to gift away property where he's getting nothing for it? So we'll say, so Ravashi responded to Amema, Ulutameich, top of Kuf Nun Vav, using that logic, Zavin Shavi Chamisha Bishisa, Hachanami Dizabinezina. So Rav Samir says back to Ravashi, so you're telling me that in a case where, let's say, the property was worth 5 zuz, and the katan sold it, or excuse me, not the katan, the boy, 13 years old, in one day sold it for 6 zuz, so he made a profit. Are you going to say that the transaction stands? And Rav said, of course, the answer to that is no. The answer, of course, is that halacha lemaisa, again, the transaction of the child of 13 years old in one day is not a valid transaction, even if he ends up selling it for a profit. So Amemar says, so if that's the case, why is it that we allow the child of 13 years old in one day to give a gift? To which the Gemara says, Elokimu v'rabanan v'yinuka mekarva daite gabe zuze. We'll say, here is the issue. The reason why Chazal said that a child of 13 years old in one day is not permitted to sell, this is, we'll say, in the absence of the child exhibiting incredible business acumen. The reason we don't allow him to sell property, I will say, is why? Because we assume children like money, right? Why do children like money? Because it's shiny, because it makes noise, because it's very nice. So what happens? And when we say children, by the way, we're talking about the young man, right, above the age of 13 years old in one day. Therefore, what's the issue? V'i amrit zivine. If somebody comes over to the young boy, 13 years old in one day, and says, sell me the property, zinnin dimikarkashi le zuze, azul mazbin lakulu nechasi da'avuha. What are we concerned about? Someone's going to rattle some coins in front of the young man. He's going to get very excited. Also, again, now that he has the ability to have all three, also, there's a deeper idea over here, which is that the young man doesn't necessarily understand the full value of real estate. So what he does understand, what he understands the value of is what? Is money. So somebody's going to come with a wad of bills, right, and is going to offer it to him for this property, either it's grossly undervalued, right? Meaning, again, this is not the real value of the property, and the kid's going to take it. Aval gabi matana. But I will say, when it comes, and that's why, again, that's why halacha lemaisa, we don't allow the son to sell off estate property until what we're passing as age 20, which we assume is old enough to have cultivated a most basic business acumen. So, right, so we put in a fail safe there. You can't sell a property before the age of 20. However, I will say when it comes to matana, aval gabe matana, ilav dahavi lehano amine. We'll say this is interesting. When it comes to matana, if the child did not, if the young man did not have some kind of hana'a from this matana, lo havi yohev le matana. See, we'll say what we understand is the following. Is at the end of the day, so a child, a young man, right, 13 years old in one day, is not going to give away something for nothing. Therefore, if he's giving a matana to someone, it must be because he is getting something in return. If you look at the Rashbam says, we'll say it's right about 4 lines in from the lines get short. He says, Ilav de isle hana gidola mine. If it were not for the fact that the child is getting back some greater benefit than the value of the gift, he would not do this. So we'll say, what's interesting is the following. What we are concerned about is that he will sell something beneath the actual value, beneath market value. That's what we're concerned about. What we're not concerned about is that what? He's going to give away something for nothing. So therefore, again, if he gives a matana, we understand that he's probably has a cheshbon. What is cheshbon? He perceives that he's getting something bigger back in return for the matana. Now, lav dafka, that he's getting back something right now. But he understands that by giving the matana to this person, what will happen? There's some type of promise or some type of possibility for something bigger in the future. Therefore, Amar Rabbanan, Tehevi Matanos Matana, which is a very important statement. Therefore, the rabbi said, let his matana stand in order that what? Dele avdu lehu mili. In order that people will do good for him in the future. Look at the Rashbam. Dele avdu mili. It's about five, six lines in from where it gets short. Dele avdu mili. Ligmo lo chesed ulehetiv le b'chol inyan. I will say, sometimes if the son gives matanos, those matanos engender a certain sense of favor with other people. Because they engender a certain sense of favor with other people, therefore what? It opens the doors for him to be the recipient from some types of chesed later on. So we'll say, so what's happening over here is absolutely amazing. What's happening over here, says the Gemara, is like this. We're going to wrap this up, this sugya up in just a little bit. Even though we're saying that the age of 20 is the age that one needs to reach in order to sell off estate property, what we're now seeing is that what? Is that halacha lemaisa, again, for gift giving, so a son is empowered to gift away parts of the estate from the age of 13 years old in one day. Why? Because we're not concerned he's going to give away something for nothing. We're assumed that he's bright enough to understand that if he's giving gifts, it's because he's trying to lay the groundwork for some future reciprocal transaction or some future chesed that the individual may do for him. Therefore, again, it's in the best interest of the estate to allow for gifts to be given, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the gift itself stands. So the sale of property can't take place until the age of 20, but a gifting of property already can take place from the age of 13 years old in one day. I'm Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. So we'll say the Gemara is just going on a little bit of a detour for just a little bit. Now that we've spoken about, again, we spoke about in yesterday's daf, shtei sa'aros, right, signs of physical maturation. So the Gemara is kind of going on a detour on that. I'm Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, both gin l'kiddushin, l'gerishin, l'chalitza. So we'll say the halacha is, the list goes on, but we'll pause here for just a moment. Rav Nachman and Mishlo both say, both gin means we check, if we're talking about a situation where these things are happening with someone who has just reached the age of majority. Remember, again, in order to become a gadol, I don't mean Rabbos like in a spiritual sense, I just mean in a physical sense. So you need two-year things. You need shanim and you need simanim. You need ultimately, again, physical age and signs of physical maturation. So physical age, okay, we could establish. What the Gemara is saying over here is that if someone is just on the cusp of adulthood and they are engaging in these halachic processes, we need to physically examine for signs of physical maturation. So therefore, again, Botkin, we will check the individual who, right, for signs of physical maturation, if he affected kiddushin, or gerushin, or divorce, or chalitza, or miyun. Remember again, miyun is the process by which a father has the ability to mekadish his daughter doraisa. A mother and a brother have the ability to enter their sister daughter into kiddushin midrabanan. The nature of that midrabban, Rabbi say, is that she has the ability, if she wants to get out of that marriage, all she needs to do is what? Refuse it. Refuse it. But that right of refusal only applies while she's a ketana. The moment she becomes a gedola and still lives in this marriage is the moment the marriage transforms into a d'oraisa marriage. So same thing with miyun. V'limkar b'nichse aviv ad shiyehei ben esrim. But to sell off property, his father's property, estate property, he has to wait until he's 20 years old to do so. So we'll say, so fine. So the Bryce is teaching me is, Rav Nachman's teaching me is, that halacha lemaisa, if let's say a child, the age of 13 years old in one day, or around that age, engages in kiddushin or gittin, so we have to do a physical examination ultimately to make sure that the person possesses signs of physical maturation. I'm sorry? So once I asked the Gemara, v'cheven dibadakna l'kiddushin l'gerushin lamali, I don't understand. If I already checked him for kiddushin, why do I have to check him for get? In other words, remember again, there's a process here. You can only have a get if you had kiddushin. So if you already checked him for signs of physical maturation for kiddushin, why would I have to check him again in order to go ahead and give the get? To which the Gemara says, it's actually quite interesting. Lo nitzcha liyibum. So we'll say it's two different cases. The case of kiddushin is where the boy is getting married. Young man is getting married. The case of gittin rabosai is where he affected a yibum relationship. Now what does that mean? Disnan ben teisha shana biyomechad sheba'al yivinto kina'a ve'in nosin get ad shiyigdal. Rabosai is an interesting halacha case. The halacha is that from the time that a boy is 9 years old in one day, his bia is considered to be a halachically valid bia. So we'll say you can have the following situation of, right, brother dies, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven leaves behind a brother, Shimon, who's 9 years old in one day. Shimon has biyah with the Yavama. Now, both say he's not actually old enough to be able to affect halachic kiddushin. But here's the difference. The difference is Yibum is affected through biyah. Because his biyah is significant, therefore what? Therefore he has affected kiddushin. He's married. He's effectively married the Yavama. He's effectively married the Yavama, but here's the problem, which is what? He can't give her a get. So this would be the situation where the Kiddushin was affected, or I should say the Yibum was affected, they're married, but Lamaisa, if he wants to divorce her, or she wants to get divorced, whatever it is, and he's giving a get, so Lamaisa, we'd have to check him for Shtei Saros at the time that he's giving the get. Quite interesting. So Mar says, Lechalitza. So what's the case of Chalitza? Lafuki mit Rav Yossi. So we'll say the Chalitza case comes to exclude the position of Rav Yossi. Because as Rav Yossi say, the Amar ish kasev b'parsha aval isha ben gedola ben ketana. We'll say Rav Yossi says that in the parsha of Chalitza, it makes a constant reference to the man, to the ish. Rav Yossi holds that for Chalitza purposes, we only need to know that the man possesses signs of physical maturation. We need not know that the woman possesses signs of physical maturation. Kamash Malan, therefore, again, the Bryce is coming to teach us, the Siddur Rav Nachman is coming to teach us, Shmuel is coming to teach us, that Kamash Malan, Demakshinan Isha Li'ish. I will say, therefore, again, it comes to teach us that we compare a woman to a man, Deloka Rabbi Yossi, not that in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, therefore, what Rabbi Yossi said, the same way that the man must possess signs of physical maturation, and we have to examine them if necessary before doing Chalitza, so too, again, we must be sure that the woman possesses signs of physical maturation as well before allowing her to engage in the process of Chalitza. What's next? Ulmi unin. So we'll say, so again, remember the Brice also said, the same with the Shmuel also said that for miun purposes, I will say. So remember again, this is the opposite case. A girl can only do miun before she exhibits signs of physical maturation. I was about to say that, remember, when it comes to miun cases, the halacha is like this. Mother or brother married off the girl. It's only kiddushin d'rabbanan. So because it's kiddushin d'rabbanan, it could be dissolved through simple refusal. But that right of refusal, that window of refusal, only exists while she's a ketana. The moment she becomes a gedola and still lives in this marriage transforms to a regular marriage, and in that moment, in order to dissolve it, you need what? You need a get. So we'll say, in the case of Mion, the inspection, right, the examination, is to determine that what? That she doesn't have signs of physical maturation. In other words, we don't want her to have Shtei Saros. So the Gemara says, Lafuki mid Rabbi Huda. Amar, Ad Sheyir B'Shachar. We'll say, Rabbi Huda holds that for Mion purposes, she has to have not just what he calls Yir B'Shachar. Yir B'Shachar means that the hairs are long enough that they could be bent back and forth that allow that entire area, Osa Makom, to appear darker as if it's covered by hair. As we will say, what Rabbi Huda is saying is that for physical maturation, he requires more than just Shtei Saros. He requires, it literally means longer hairs that could be folded back and forth. But what he's saying is a more advanced stage of physical maturation. To which the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, we'll say the Brice is coming to teach, or Shmuel is coming to teach us that Halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda, but rather, again, as soon as she has Shtei Saros, two basic hairs, then Halacha Lamaisa, that's a sign of physical maturation. Once she's physically mature, she's a Gidola. Once she's a Gidola, she no longer has the ability to go ahead and engage in Miyun. But Limkar Benichse Aviv, I will say, what was next? What was next is, now remember, it ended off by saying that he could only sell the property of his father up until the age of 20. Ad Shei Ben Esru. He could only sell once he reached the age of 20. La Fuke Miman Da'amar Ben Shmonase. So we'll say, remember, 20 is the age of Rav Huna. So this comes to exclude the position of Rava. Rava said that Lamaisa, again, a child could already go ahead and sell from the age of 18. Therefore, Kamash Malan, we paskin like Rav Huna, that it has to be from the age of 20 and on. And I will say, this is actually very exciting, because the sugya closes itself out over here. V'hilchasa, the halacha I will say is the following. Number one, tochsman kilifnezman. I will say, number one, halacha lemaisa, is that we say, remember we asked yesterday, assuming that we established that the age to sell off property is 20 according to Rav Huna 18 according to Rava. What about when a person is in their 20th year? Right? In other words, I just reached 19, past 19, I'm into the 20th year. Or into the 18th year, 17 years old plus. So I'll say, so could a child sell off property during that time? So we paskin tochzman kilifneizman. No. We'll say anything before the 20th or 18th birthday is like being before the age, before the necessary age, and therefore halacha l'maisa again cannot be done. Next, v'hilchasa kegidl bar menashe. So we'll say, so the halacha follows gidl bar menashe. What did gidl bar menashe say? Gidl bar menashe said, we'll say that if you have a 13-year-old child, right, 13 years old in one day, hayodea b'masa umaton, who has business acumen, is a good businessman, what's the halacha? He has the ability to go out and sell off estate property. So we'll say, even though we paskin, like Rav Huna, that a son has to, or daughter, by the way, a son or a daughter, has to be 20 years old in order to sell off estate property, that's only if they don't possess unusual business acumen. But if, again, the child is a business prodigy, he knows how to conduct business, right, then halacha l'maisa again, even from a young age. Now again, has to be a gadol, has to be at least 13 years old in one day, but from that age on could go ahead and conduct business. The hilchasa kimar zutra. Furthermore, again, I will say that halacha is like mar zutra. Namely, what? Namely, that if you look at the Rashbam, it's the third wide line. Hilchasa kimar zutra. The le'edus metatli meyed ben yud gimel shen yodea betiv maso matan aval edus karkalo. That from the age of 13 years old in one day, this young man can now serve as an aide, but can't serve as an aide regarding karka. Only regarding metaltalin, because we assume he does not yet know karka. And the hilchasa ka'ameymar, furthermore, the halacha follows ameymar, which is that even though a child below the age of 20 cannot sell property, but a child below the age of 20, above the age of 13 years old in one day, has the right to what? Gift property. Gift property, because we'll say this is considered to be in the best interest of the estate. And Rabbi Osai, the halacha follows Rav Nachman bar Shmuel in accordance with all of these cases that we just stated beforehand. All of these cases, Rabbi Osai, which we again check for simanim to make sure that the individual has indeed reached the age of majority. So Rabbi Osai, so just to organize it a bit differently, so halacha Rabbi said to close out this sugya, a child must be at least the age of 20 and above in order to go ahead and sell off estate property. Unless, of course, the child exhibits incredible business acumen, in which case, as long as the child is above the age of 13 years old in one day, I'm seeing these halachos in terms of boys, but the same halachos apply in terms of girls. Unless the child exhibits incredible business acumen, then they can sell off from the age of 13 years old in one day. Even though they can't sell to the age of 20, that doesn't impact their ability to be an aide. A child can be an aide already from the age of 13 years old in one day, but it appears not regarding karka. Not regarding karka. They can only be an aide regarding karka once they reach this age of greater maturity. Even though they can't sell property, a child above the age of 13 years old in one day can gift property because that is considered to be in the best interest of the estate. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say we go weiter. Hamachalik nechasav al piv. We'll say somebody's going ahead and dividing up his estate right through a verbal declaration. Rebbe Elazar omer echad bari ve'echad mesukan. So we'll say Rebbe Elazar says that whether the grantor is healthy or whether he is a shchiv mira, that's mesukan in a dangerous, precarious state. So what's the halacha? Nechasim sheish lo machrayes nikne bekesev b'shtar b'chazaka, u'she'ein lo machrayes ein nikne ela b'meshicha. So we'll say, listen to this. Apparently, and the Rashbam points this out, Rebbe Elazar does not subscribe to the idea of divrei shchiv mira kiksuvin v'chimsurin damu. Rebbe Elazar does not believe that a shchimira is vested with any special acquisitory or conveyatory, I know that's not a word, but conveyatory powers, right? And therefore, again, a shchimira is just like anyone else. Therefore, what Rebbe Elazar, when it comes, if he wants to gift properties to someone else, and he's doing it, again, not through a shtar, but just through a verbal declaration, then the halacha is the following, that movable property, real property, can only be acquired with kesef, shtar, chazaka, money, a document, or a proprietary act. And movable property, Rebbe Elazar, can only be acquired through what? Can only be acquired ultimately again through Meshicha. If you take a look at the Rashbam just says, Rabbi Elazar Omer Echad Bari Ve'Echad Mesukan, Rabbi Elazar Svirle, Tilein Shchimira Einon Kiksur Mechum Surim Damu, Ela Kebari Ba'ama, Vitzarech Kinyon Kishar Matnas Bari. We'll say, that's Rabbi Elazar Shita, Amud Beis. Amrulo. So we'll say, so the Rabbanon said to Rabbi Elazar, one second, We actually made reference to this story. But what about the episode of the mother of the sons of Rochel? Rochel was the father's name. So the Rabbanan say, what about the story with the sons of Rochel? Shaisa Cholam. The Rabbanan says she was ill. She was on her deathbed. Va'amra, and she said, Tenu kibinasi lebiti. Give my pin. She had a very expensive pin. She said, give my pin to my daughter. Vihi b'shnei masar mana. That pin was very expensive, worth a lot of money, 12 mana. Umesa, then she subsequently died. And what happened? V'kaimu estivareha. And the rabbis upheld her word. So I'll say, what do you see from here? This was b'pashtos imatnas shchiv meira. She was conveying the pin to her daughter, how? Just through a verbal declaration. And what do you see? The rabbis upheld it. So I'll say, what do you see from here? The rabbis trying to prove to Rabbi Lazar. You see from here that what? That a matana of a shchiv meira, in fact, operates in a different way. And you can, a shchiv meira can convey something without formal kinyanim. To which Rabbi Lazar says, Amr lahen. Amr lahen. So I'll say, Rabbi Lazar says, B'nei Rochel, tikpareim iman. B'nei Rochel, then mother should bury them. Which, okay, well, we'll discuss exactly what that means. But that's another way of saying, I don't think we could bring a raya from B'nai Rochel. Right? I think that case might be a bit different. Now, we'll see, by the way, why Rebbe Lazar has such negative words for B'nai Rochel. The point that Rebbe Lazar is trying to make is, you can't bring me a raya from that case, as we'll see. Says the Gemara Tanya. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokis over here between Rebbe Lazar and the Chachamim. Namely, again, does a Shchiv Meira have special abilities or not? So we'll say, Rabbi Lazar says, no, a Shchiv Meira is just like every other person. And therefore, again, it doesn't have the ability to convey property in any kind of specific or unique way. The Chacham say, not true, a Shchiv Meira does have the ability to do so. So let's understand this machlokes. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. We'll say, Kof Nun Vav Amud Beis, 156b. Four lines down. Tanya, now five lines. Amar Lahan Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Lazar also says, so again, you see, just two different gersos. If this is Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Eliezer. So the source of Shas changes is it over here again to Rabbi Lazar. That goes to Unim. So Rabbi Lazar says, Amar Rabbi Lazar Lachachamim. Maisa b'meroni echad. Let's listen to this case. There was a guy, a Meroni. Let's say, what's a Meroni? A Jew from Meron. Jew from Meron. There was an episode with a Jew from Meron, Shehayah b'Yerushalayim, we'll say who came to Yerushalayim. V'hayu lo metaltalin harbe. He had a lot of movable property. And what happens? Ubikesh litna b'matana. He wanted to convey it to other people with matana. We'll say, now we're assuming over here that what? We're assuming that Rashbam says, Shehayah shchiv mira. So we are assuming over here that this Meroni is now a shchiv mira. He's away from home. He's now in Yerushalayim, and before he dies, he wants to find a way to gift away his property. So what happens? So Bikesh Litna Mamatana. Amrulo, so they said to him, meaning the rabbis in Jerusalem said to him, Ein Lahem Takano Ad Sheyitna Al Gav Karka. So they said to him, I will say, listen, the only way for you to convey property, to convey your metatlin is how? Agav Karka. In other words, so you have to go ahead and gift away a piece of property. And when you gift away the piece of property, in other words, with the property, you could convey the metaltalin. Agav. We'll say, now remember, we discussed already that king and Agav, we paskin, inon ba'inon siburin. In other words, we'll say, the way you could convey movable property is on the back of real property. So if I convey you land, I could convey you metaltalin along with that land. And of course, the halacha is that the metaltalin need not to be piled on that land itself. So the metaltalin could be in Meron, and the land could be in Yerushalayim. And when I convey to you the land in Yerushalayim, you get the metaltalin Meron as well. So what happened? So what did the guy do? Halach belakach beis sela echad samach Yerushalayim. So the Shchiv Meira went and bought a little piece of land, base sela, a sela's worth of land, and the Rashbam says over here, v'lakach base sela, shenaroy lezriya, What did he do? He bought for himself a cheap piece of land. First of all, there's no cheap land in Yerushalayim. But okay, he went ahead. This was, I guess, before the properties, so the olden days. So he bought for himself an old piece of land. He bought for himself a piece of land that was not fit for agriculture and maybe not fit for building either. In other words, the land wasn't usable for anything. So therefore, he got it cheap. But it's okay. He doesn't need to use it for anything. All he's using it, I will say, is for what? Is a mechanism of conveyance. See, went ahead and he bought this piece of land. And what does he do? Ba'amar, Sifona Laploni, V'imo Me'at Sona Me'achavios, the northern tip of this land should go to Ploni, and along with it again, so I'm giving him the northern tip of the land, and along with this land, I'm conveying to Ploni 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. Udromo Laploni, and the southern tip of the land, that I am conveying to someone else. V'imo Me'at Sona Me'achavios, and I'm giving him 100 sheep, 100 barrels as well. Umes. And then the guy, the Meroni, died. The Kaimu Chachamim Estevarav, and the rabbis upheld his words. So we'll say, what do you see from this story? You see from this story that a Shchiv Meira does not have special conveyatory powers. But rather, again, the Shchiv Meira has to avail himself of the same kinyanim as everyone else. Meaning, again, I will say, you see from here that we don't say Divrei Shchiv Meira, because if that was true, that if the words the Shekhinah are like they're written in the Shtar, then what? The Shekhinah could have just gifted away the barrels and the sheep without having to do it Agav Karka. The fact that he has to do it Agav Karka seems to support the position of Rabbi Lazar, that the Shekhinah has no special conveyatory powers. Amrulo, so the Rabbanah said to Rabbi Lazar, Misham Raya, that cave is not approved. Meroni Bari Haya. The Meroni wasn't a Shchiv Meira. The Meroni was a Bari. It just happened to be he died after he made this conveyance, but he was not a Shchiv Meira. He was a totally healthy person. If he was a totally healthy person, then I understand. A totally healthy person, then everybody agrees that the only way to convey property is how? Through normal conveyatory mechanisms. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, they told him, if you want to convey Naravosa, the issue is, he's in Yerushalayim, and he wants to convey metaltalin in Meron. To which the rabbis told him, fine, if you want to do that, the only way to do that is Agav Karka. And therefore, again, that's why he bought land. But there's no raya over here to the case, ultimately, of Shemira. So we'll say, now remember, let's go back for just a moment. So remember, the Rabbanon in the Mishnah, bring the episode of Bnei Rochel as a proof to their position that a Shchimira has the ability just to convey things through verbal declaration. Divrei Shchimira, the words of Shchimira are kiksuvin v'chim surim damu. And Rabbi Lazar comes along and says, Bnei Rochel, and they prove that from the story of Bnei Rochel, where Mrs. Rochel, when she was a Shchimira, conveyed her pin to her daughter just simply through a verbal declaration. To which Rabbi Lazar said, Bnei Rochel, they should be buried. So obviously, Rabbi Lazar does not have warm and fuzzy feelings towards Bnei Rochel. To which the Gemara says, my time akalayetlu. Why is Rabbi Lazar cursing the sons of Rochel? In other words, what did they do that's so bad that Rabbi Lazar has clearly such a disdain and a dislike for them? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, mekai mekotzi bekerem hayu. Oh, listen, to this. They used to grow thorns in the vineyard. So we'll say, you know, there's a halacha called kloya kerem. So kloya kerem means you can't grow other species within a vineyard. It's a forbidden mixture. So apparently, Bnei Rochel used to grow thorn bushes in their vineyard. V'Rabbi Elazar Latame, and Rabbi Elazar goes according to his reasoning, this nan, ha-mekayim kotzim ekerem. If someone goes ahead and grows thorn bushes in their vineyard, Rabbi Lazar Omer Kadosh. Rabbi Lazar is also now Kadosh in this case doesn't mean it's holy. Kadosh means from Lashon Av, it's an illegal growth. Right? It's prohibited. So Rabbi Elazar says that growing thorn bushes in a vineyard is a forbidden mixture. Chum say lo kidesh. Chum say no, it's not a forbidden mixture. In other words, thorn bushes is not a significant, we'll discuss why. But ultimately, again, is not a significant growth, and therefore, again, does not create forbidden mixtures. So, lo kidesh el davar shekamohu mekaimin. So, we'll say, ultimately, again, the chacham hold like this. We'll say, what's the definition of a forbidden mixture? The forbidden mixture has to be that you introduce a second species that person wants to be there. I want it there. In other words, it's a plant that is significant. That's what it means. Davar shekamo mekaymin, something that people would want to sustain. That's a forbidden mixture. Rabbo said that I want to say something like thorns, which people don't want, or right, it's not something on a normal level that people want. Therefore, halach lemaisein, it's not a forbidden mixture. So I'll say, watch this. So bishlam karkum chazi. So I'll say, if a person's going ahead and planting karkum, so karkum is some type of spice. Sometimes karkum is translated as saffron. All right, if a person's going ahead and planting karkum, so I'll say, I understand if I'm planting karkum in my vineyard, so that is an illegal planting and illegal growth. Why? Because a person wants the vines and they also want the karkum, and you're planting two species within close proximity to each other. I understand that's illegal. Chazi, ela kotzim l'may chazi. So I'll say, what the Gemara is asking in Rabbi Lazar, why would it be illegal to plant thorn bushes in a vineyard? After all, nobody wants thorn bushes. So because nobody, it's not a species that in general people want. So the Gemara said, why would it be an illegal mixture? To which the Gemara, bless you, I'm Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Lazar. So what's Rabbi Lazar's logic? Shekin ba'aravya mekayim in kotzim besodos ligmaleyim. They both say in Arabia, right? It's in the Arab countries. So they used to go ahead and want thorn bushes. Why do you want thorn bushes? Apparently, camels eat thorn bushes. So because of that, they will say a person wants this growth. And therefore, again, I'm sorry, Shekin Baravia Mekaimin Kotsin Besodos Ligmalehen. Because people want thorn bushes for their camels. Therefore, what? It's considered to be a significant growth. They're both saying, if you take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment, it's actually quite interesting. It's actually right across. Just go straight, make a hard left from the Gemara. Shekein ba'aravya, v'rabbanan basa ruba da'alma azli, shin mekayim esal sigmaya. So also, listen to this. The fundamental machlokes routine, Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, is in the following. In order for a growth to be considered a forbidden mixture within a vineyard, do we require that the majority of the world would consider this a significant growth? Or do we say that even a minority considers it a significant growth and make it illegal? What's the nafkamina, Rabbi Osai? The nafkamina will be where? In the case of thorn bushes in a vineyard. The majority of the world would want that out. The majority of the world would say that is not considered to be a beneficial growth in the vineyard, and therefore, again, it's not klaya kerem. But the minority says, for example, the minority being the people in Arabia, would want the thorn bushes. Why? Because it's camel feed. It's camel feed. Therefore, having that in the vineyard is actively beneficial. So I'll say, so the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim is, for klaya kerem, is it a din in rov or even a din in miot? The Rabbanan say it's a din in rov. Therefore, the thorn bushes in the vineyard is not a din in klaya kerem. Versus Rabbi Lazar says, no, that it's even a din in miot. As long as there's someone, right, who would consider this a significant growth, ultimately it makes it klaya kerem. So also, let's end up the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Levi, konin kinyan mishchimira afilu b'shabbos. We'll say, this is amazing. The halacha is, we're makabel kinyan from a shchimira on Shabbos, v'lo lochush l'divrei Rebbe Lazar. And we need not be concerned with the words of Rebbe Lazar. Now we'll say, now what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. Konim mishchimira afilu b'Shabbos. The Rashbam says, lo shna hecha shetzarech kinyan kigon shashir, lo shna m'machali kol nechasav, dechevan detalitayim mishum shema tishof daito alav, delo san chadayte shetiz kain tzavasu v'amira, So we'll say, watch, I'm going to go back
for just a moment.
Under normal circumstances, the halacha is that you can't go ahead and what? You can't go ahead and make kinyonim on Shabbos. Rabbi will say, why can you not make a kinyon on Shabbos? Why no kinyon on Shabbos? Why? It's a gzirah of mekach u'memkar. It resembles a business transaction. I will say mekach u'memkar transactions are prohibited lest they lead to gzirah. I will say it's actually important to halacha to know because this comes up more often than you think. If you're going somewhere for a suda on Shabbos and you bring someone a gift, so that could go ahead and pose certain halachic problems on Shabbos of kinyanim. Therefore, I will say the halacha is the following: what happens if a shchiv mirah wants to make a gift of property to someone on Shabbos, and I'm there, two Eidim are there, and again, two in the Shemirah says, be makabel kinyan on behalf of the intended recipient. can you be Makabel Kinyan on Shabbos? And I'm going to say, the halacha that Rabbi Levi is saying, is, the answer is yes. Now the answer is yes in two cases. There are sometimes where you need Kabbalah's Kinyan from a Shechemira, sometimes where you don't need Kabbalah's Kinyan. If the Shechemira is giving away his entire estate, then what? No Kinyan is necessary. Why? Because again, that's a Matna Shechemira, and sometimes a Kinyan is necessary. Like when a Shechemira is only giving away partial property, that's when a Kinyan is necessary. But Levi says, either way, you could be Makabel Kinyan on behalf of a Shechemira on Shabbos. Why? The Gemara says, Shema Titrof Daito Alav. Because Rabbi Osai, when it comes to a Shechemira, what we are most concerned about is what? That he not suffer any additional mental anguish. Therefore, if being Makabel Kinyan is going to put his mind at ease, then we are allowed to do that on Shabbos. Whether that Kinyan is necessary, whether that Kinyan is not necessary, to give him the necessary mental quietude or emotional quietude, we're permitted to be Makabel Kinyan, which Rabbi Osai essentially is another way of saying the prohibition or the inability under normal circumstances to be Makabel Kinyan is Dirabbanan. The rabbis chose to lift their restriction in a case of Shechemira. Since being Makabel Kinyan gives the Shechemira a certain sense of Yishev Adas, therefore the Rabbanan ultimately again allowed the Eden to be Makabel Kinyan from the Shechemira on Shabbos, Shema Tichav Daito Allah. Because if you don't do it, the concern is you may give him additional mental anguish, which may exacerbate his already compromised situation. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.